The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
As we all know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that we are counting to Pentecost. Pentecost is only 8 days away. And each year during Pentecost, actually during the day of Pentecost, traditionally, Jews, devout Jews, read the book of Ruth as part of their worship service. They read it publicly on that day. I have entitled this message today, Ruth and Pentecost. There is no name author in the particular book of Ruth. However, tradition states that Samuel was probably the author and probably wrote this book around 1007 BC. Now, the book itself is set during the time of the judges. And so if you would go with me to Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Ruth 1 and verse 1, going to read it from the NIV. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Now, although the time of the setting of the book is in Judges, because the book says so, it was probably written during the time of the reign of David. David's genealogy is mentioned in the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 17 and verses 17 and 22, yet Solomon, David's son, is never mentioned. The time of the judges is known to be a time of dark, hard difficulties in the nation of Judah. It was a time of moral degeneracy. It was a time when foreign oppression was coming against Israel. And it was a time of national disunity. During the rule of the judges, Israel went through a series of cycles. They went through this series of cycles where they were obeying God for a period of time and were blessed. And then it was followed by a period of time of apostasy, Sabbath breaking, idolatry, immorality that God had to correct. Go with me to Judges 21 and verse 25. Easy to find. It's the last verse in the book, last chapter in the last verse in the book of Judges. Judges 21, 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's a summation of the history of Judah and Israel during this particular time of when this book that we're looking at, the book of Ruth, occurred. The book of Ruth begins and ends in the area of Bethlehem and Judah. And the sad time in Israel included a time when there was a lack of bread. That's interesting. At least it's interesting to me is because the name Bethlehem in Hebrew actually means house of bread. You also remember this is where somebody else was born, Jesus the Messiah. So the story that we're looking at in the book of Ruth has three main characters whose lives are intertwined with each other, and the main flow of the entirety of the book is carried forward by the three main characters, Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Now, if you look at, you can look at several different Bible commentaries and Bible dictionaries, and the name Ruth is translated from a Hebrew word, it's Reuit, R-E-E-I-U-T, and it means friendship, association, or companion. The word itself, as we have it in our Bibles, Ruth, probably is from a Moabite root word origin. In Hebrew, Naomi means pleasant. I'm giving you a background because all of this is going to tie together. We could just jump to the conclusion and you go, oh, well, I missed a lot. Yeah. And so we're giving a lot of information, but it all does tie together. In Hebrew, Naomi means pleasant. In the Hebrew, Boaz means quickness or strength. The story begins with the sorrow of death. Ruth 1, verses 3 and 5, and it ends with the birth of a baby. New life of the birth of a child by the name of Obed, who is a person that we find is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. In Ruth chapter 4, verse 17, Ruth 4, verse 17, so I'm kind of jumping around from the first to the last, but tying it all together. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name. The her, of course, is Ruth. She's the mother. Saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, we could continue reading, and we could look over in the book of Matthew, and we could very easily see that he's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. It's interesting, at least I find it interesting, to note that the name Obed, actually in the Hebrew it would be Obad, it's O-B-A-B. The word means worshiper. So, we ask, why did God include this tiny little book as part of his inspired word? Why is it part of biblical history? Why is it included in the Bible? Well, when you think about it, as with most things pertaining to God, there are a number of important reasons why God would have had it included. Of course, we also understand it is an unusual book in the fact that it is one of the two Bible books that bear the name of a woman. The book of Ruth gives us some insight into how God works with his people so that God can accomplish his will. The book connects directly into the physical early barley harvest. Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now, when does the barley harvest begin? With the day of the weighsheaf. So there's a counting of the weighsheaf. I mean, there's the marking of the weighsheaf, and therefore they could start harvesting their grain. And there's the barley starts and it culminates all the way to 7 weeks later to Pentecost, which then is into wheat. But it starts with the barley. And that's what it says here, right as the barley harvest was beginning. Therefore, I think that by this we can see the beginning of our counting to Pentecost. By the counting each day of 7 full weeks plus one special day, the next day is day 50, is the day of Pentecost, and so we understand the book ties itself into the days of unleavened bread, obviously with the offering of the wave sheaf, and it is looking forward to the Feast of Weeks, or as we call it in the New Testament, Pentecost. That's the Greek word. So this small book has all the markings of a great dramatic, romantic love story. I mean, the story has deceptions and descriptions and references to severe famine, to devastation, multiple deaths, the sorrows and tragedies of widowhood, of poverty, as well as connected to love, loyalty, faithfulness, kindness, generosity, selfless service, sacrifice, and even some suspense. Oh, and of course, love. So it has the markings, as I said, of a great dramatic, romantic love story or novel. It has all the elements that are there. In fact, many people over time have considered this book as being one of the most beautiful love stories ever told. There's a lot more we can go into and talk about it to demonstrate that, but we're not here. But when you really read the book and you go through it, you actually see that there are several love stories that can be found in the book of Ruth. Obviously, it is a story about the title character, Ruth, the young Moabitess who has been widowed, and the unusual courtship of the wealthy landlord, Boaz. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1. Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So he's a wealthy landlord, and you can read all of this, and you can see how he interacts with his laborers, those who are harvesting the field, and how he gets along. But brother and I, we also understand that by God including Ruth in the Bible, Ruth, the Moabitess, and Boaz, the son of Rahab, probably there is some question, but I think it is more so, Rahab the harlot, and we can see that I'm not going to read it, but you can read it in Matthew 1, verses 4 and 5, Matthew 1, verses 4 and 5. By his including this in there, God, to me, clearly is showing his intent to include all of mankind into his final salvation plan. The book expresses that God is not a respecter of persons. He is not someone who is anti-Gentile. Or to put it in a more modern term, he is not xenophobic. He is not fearful of other people, of other races or other nationalities, of all of that. He is looking to include them in his family and in his kingdom. We see this through this book. We see it through a lot of places, but we see it. And we have to understand the time setting is during the time of the judges, when God is dealing primarily with one group of people, the Israelites. But we see this through this. Because you see, what God does, God honors those who acknowledge him. And he honors those to whom relate to him in his way and relate to him because of who he is, who God is. The book is also a love story about Naomi and Ruth. I mean, when you read the book and you see there is something very special about Naomi, it's something so special because it moves Ruth to the degree, to the point that she absolutely refuses to leave Naomi alone. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, Ruth 1 and verse 16, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, nor to return from following after you. For whither I go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people should be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part you and me." Probably many of us recognize the fact that this beautifully committed words of Ruth have been used many times as part of wedding ceremonies. It is about Ruth's commitment to go with Naomi and to care for her. Ruth remained steadfast in her commitment, clinging to Naomi during Naomi's darkest times, when she felt that God had dealt bitterly with her, and she had even asked to no longer be referred to as Naomi, which meant pleasant, but that she would be referred to as Mara, which means bitter. Chapter 1 and verse 20, "And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." This little book also contains many lessons that can encourage and inspire us as God's people in our times of trouble. When the book is examined prophetically, it's easy to see that we find parallels to Jesus Christ, to his bride, and to his deep love for his church. The book gives us patterns to see that Ruth is much like the church, that it will be perfected, that it will be the bride of Jesus Christ. Boaz, we see, is a type of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And just as Ruth left everything behind, including her traditions, her family, her culture, to be with Naomi and to be with the true God that she had come to love and obey. Please understand, this is a direct parallel to what Jesus' bride will do. All of our past will be behind us. We all crawled into that watery grave, stating to Jesus Christ and to God the Father that we're leaving all of that, which is exactly what Ruth has done, and we see this commitment. Let's go to the New Testament in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23, "And he, Jesus, said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And then go to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 29. Matthew 19 verse 29. "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." Do you see the picture from Ruth? There are many others that we can see and we can learn from this book of Ruth. in it, we can see examples of how God uses everyday events, such as famines and even deaths, to move our lives forward and to shape the lives of His faithful people. And each and every time, God is the faithful and generous provider. The book tells the story of two widows in dire straits. I mean, they're in dire straits because a couple of questions to consider. How were they going to live or even survive? And it is through this part of the story that we find out much about the real character traits of Ruth and Naomi. We learned that Naomi had lost her husband and both of her sons in a foreign land. And she had intended to return to Bethlehem once she had heard that bread was now available once again. Then once in Bethlehem, back in Bethlehem, Ruth and Naomi, both widows, took advantage of God's instructions for gleaning, which is God's way of caring for those in real need. So let's go back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, and see this principle. Leviticus 23 and verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not make clean riddance of the corners of your field when you reap, neither shall you gather any gleaning of your harvest. You shall leave them, you shall leave the gleanings for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. This is an instruction for God. He set aside something for those who had a way of taking care of those who have real need. And then once these widows reach Bethlehem, we learn how the simple kindness of Ruth toward Naomi and the kindness of Boaz toward these widows. We see that it illustrates how one simple act of kindness can multiply and be repaid a thousandfold. Isn't that what God said? Isn't that exactly what Jesus said in the New Testament? It is. It is what He said. Brethren, this is a powerful and moving example of God's nature of love. The story allows us to see how temporary suffering can end in great joy. Ruth manifests wonderful and beautiful character traits. I want us to look at some. I want to just give you a list of some, not all, but some. Cooperative, courageous, faithful, guided by God, hardworking. I can back every one of these up by verses in the book of Ruth. Loyal, modest, obedient, patient, righteous, service-oriented, submissive, temperate, self-controlled, trusting, trustworthy, unselfish, just to name some of them. And Boaz, who is a symbolic picture of Jesus, the bridegroom, demonstrates also through this book many, many admirable character traits also. And so we ask, so what was Boaz like? Well, many things. Considerate, courteous, discerning. And I say discerning because Boaz was discerning that Ruth had chosen to follow the God of Israel. Faithful, generous, hardworking, honorable, kind, law-abiding, oriented to God's way, protective, trustworthy, wise. Again, just to name a few of them. And we can back all of those up with scriptures. Boaz makes an interesting statement toward the end of the book. It's over in chapter 4. When he states that he had purchased her, Ruth, to be his wife. That's an interesting statement because, brethren, this is exactly what Jesus had done for his bride. We have also been bought with a price. Ruth chapter 4, verse 10. Ruth chapter 4, verse 10. Just going to read the A part of the verse. I'm going to start there. Ruth 4, verse 10. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. Not going into the traditions of the day and how all of that happened and all of this, because this is picturing something that Jesus had done. Dropping down to the end of that verse, and it says, you are witnesses this day. So we go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, because you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, He owns us. He purchased us to become His bride. And the characteristics of Ruth, as revealed in this small book, indicate that she certainly opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue was the law of kindness. That's over here in Proverbs 30, what we refer to as Proverbs 31, what we refer to as the virtuous woman, which we know is a characteristic of the bride of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 31, verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Because you see, brethren, this story is prophetic. And it is so moving that God made sure to preserve it in the scriptures for all of us to have, for all of us to look at and to see how He, through Jesus Christ, is dealing with us as the bride of Jesus Christ. Here, let me point out three basic teachings that we can see from this book of Ruth. Number one, we see a foreshadow of the enlarged blessing to come. Now, what I mean by that is God's plan is much larger than just Israel or Jews. Through this little book of Ruth, we can see that Gentiles are capable of being joined to spiritual Israel, i.e. today being the church of God, upon the conditions of repentance and of faith in the God of Israel. Number two, God's greatness is expressed in the inclusion of a Gentile in the royal lineage of the Messiah. Matthew 1, verse 5. Matthew 1, verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. The third lesson that we see, or major teaching, and we didn't really cover so much about this to this point, is the kinsman redeemer is a prophetic type. That is, he is the Goel, G-O-E-L, who fulfills the qualifications and the functions of his kinsman. The word kinsman in the Hebrew is Goel. The word redeemer is synonymous with the word kinsman. Hang with me. And the word redeemer is added in our English translations because the word kinsman, as we would use it, usually suggests the area of a family relationship. And it's much bigger than that. So if you will notice, what you will see is there are seven occurrences of the word redeem in Ruth chapter 4. If we did, and we're not going to, but if you did a word study on this word redeem, then what you will also see is that it is translated from the Hebrew root word goel. So the kinsman redeemer, that all has to do with the buying of her and is much bigger than just family. It was to include something bigger than just Israel. That's the point. And that is a major lesson, and this is a way that we can see it. So, brethren, as we move closer and closer to the return of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, perhaps we will even learn more and more about our role as the happy bride of Jesus Christ. Do I think that we know all about it at this point? Absolutely not. Do I think we know a great deal? Yes. Do we know more today than we did, say, 50, 60 years ago in a church? Yes. Again, I ask, do we think that we know it all? No. So I'm saying the closer we get to the return of the bridegroom, Jesus, we're going to learn more about it. We're going to learn more about it. So, I have a couple of questions as a result of that. How much are we looking forward to his return? How much are we preparing ourselves? In Revelation 19, verse 7, and let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. So yes, let us be ready. So I stop here and ask a question that some of you may be asking. Am I tying in the book of Ruth also all the way forward to the Feast of Trumpets, the return of Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. So I'm saying this book takes place and it's right after Passover, and then there's the wave sheaf, and then the harvesting starts. And this is where the book really focuses on. They go back because the barley has starting to be harvested. So they go back to have bread. I am the bread of life. This is what Jesus tells us at the Passover. And so they go back for that, and they're looking forward because this is during the time of the counting to Pentecost. But it also looks and moves us forward in thinking to the time of the return of Jesus Christ and the marriage of the Lamb. One day, Jesus will marry his bride. And brethren, I ask that we would let us never give up our growth, our purification, and our perfection to become the bride through the power of God's Holy Spirit that was first poured out on the church in Acts when the day of Pentecost was fully come. In Acts 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them." This is the disciples of Jesus Christ. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I hope that we can all see that this beautiful, moving, and inspiring little book found way back there in the Old Testament, the Book of Ruth, ties to the story and the starting of the Church of God in the New Testament. Ruth and Pentecost. It's a beautiful story. The Aaronic blessing. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." We are so blessed. We are so blessed.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.